Behold the Lamb of God. This instruction from St. John is about discipleship. And that is what our first weeks of ordinary time are all about. But we have to ask ourselves, who or what am I following? Seems that the call of the world is getting stronger and stronger all the time. But it's been that way for a while. Even back in the 1970s, Blessed Fulton Sheen called this the end of Christendom. He didn't say it's the end of Christianity. He didn't say it's the end of the church. He didn't say it's the end of the world. But it is the end of Christendom. Christendom is that idea or that fullness of Christianity behind everything in our world. Christian principles found in our culture. Christian principles in our business ethics, in our movies, in our music, in our leisure time, in our government, in our commerce. It used to be normal for people to sacrifice for the future. And if that was going on, and he recognized all of that back in the 1970s, how much more so today, because we've been continuing this slide ever since. Today, no one is surprised at a government scandal. You mentioned the name Bernie Madoff, and everybody knows what you're talking about. And we're not surprised when these things come up. Anything goes on the internet. In the past, we knew what it was to be a disciple of Christ. Christian values were immersed into everything in our education system. It didn't matter if you were at a public school or a private school. Christian values were taught, and they were held in esteem from the earliest grades to the university. Christian values infused into our business, infused into our commerce. Today, it's not so much. Today, we need to make that conscious decision on who we are going to follow. Because we are all disciples in one way or another, we will all follow someone or something. And if we want Christian values in our lives, if we want them in the lives of our families, in the lives of our children, if we are ready to pass it on to future generations, we have to be very clear in our own lives who it is that we are following. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb has a long history in the role of salvation, going way back into our Judeo-Christian roots before the time of Christ, when Abraham took Isaac, his son, up on the mountain with the instructions that he was to sacrifice him. Isaac's carrying the wood on his back. He says, "Father, here's the wood. We have the fire. Where is the sacrifice?" Abraham is ready to sacrifice Isaac, and his hand is stayed. And he looks around and he sees this ram caught in a thicket. This lamb is offered rather than his son. When the Israelite nation was held in captive in Egypt, they were told to offer this sacrifice, this very first Passover. Offer a sacrifice of an unblemished lamb. Take the blood, paint it on the lintels of your doorways. And when the angel of the Lord came through and with this destructive blow to the Israel or to the Egyptian people, he passed over the houses of the Israelites. Isaiah speaks of a suffering servant offered for the sins of God's people, reconciling both the Israelite nation and the Gentiles alike and bringing them to God. He would accomplish this by allowing himself to be killed and making himself that offering for sin. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist gave this instruction for his disciples, but it is also there for our benefit to give a clear vision of who this is. The long-awaited Lamb, not just another prophet in the long line of prophets. This one is different. This is the Lamb who existed from all time, previously hidden, but now made visible. The one who would not baptize with water, but the one who would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Do we recognize him? Or are we blinded by the world? For even when Christ walked the world, many were blind. The Pharisees, how many did they witness of Christ's miracles? Again and again, and yet their hearts were hardened and they were blind. They were deaf. They didn't see who this was right there in their midst. The crowd on Palm Sunday shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." only 4 days later to turn around and shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Blind, but blinded by the world. Because if they were to recognize him, if they were going to truly behold him, it would mean a total conversion, a new outlook, a new perspective on the world. And that was difficult for them, and that is difficult for us. Whenever we hear these words before communion, at each and every Mass, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." These words of John the Baptist ring throughout time in our Masses. But are they just words that we've become accustomed to hearing? Or do we truly behold him who takes away the sins of the world? To behold him in this way is to recognize him for who he is, the Lamb of God. We need to see this truth, but in order to see that truth, we need to see the truth of ourselves. In the 5th century, there's a bishop, Diotokos of Phokis, and he wrote, "The trouble is that very few people accurately recognize their faults." That is something that we still struggle with. We get into a rut of comparing ourselves with other people. We compare ourselves with other times. We think, well, we live in this enlightened time. Those old things like the Ten Commandments, those were good for the Israelites. We don't need them. We know better. We think maybe God grades on a curve. But it is not that those things have gone away. They are there for us. And it is our lives, it is our choices and our actions that show who it is that we follow. Not so much about the words alone, but about living those words that we profess. There's a story about Gandhi, the Indian spiritual leader. This woman comes to him and says, "My daughter is addicted to sweets. Can you help her?" And Gandhi says, "Go home. Come back in 3 weeks." So the woman goes home, comes back in 3 weeks, and she brings her daughter again. And Gandhi takes the daughter and goes and talks with her for a little bit. She comes back out and she tells her mom, "Now I'm ready. I'll give it up." And the woman is very pleased, but she turns to Gandhi and she says, "Why couldn't you have done this 3 weeks ago?" And Gandhi says, "3 weeks ago, when you asked me, I reflected on it myself, and I was addicted to sweets." It's not about words that we just give somebody and tell them. We have to live it ourselves. We have to enter into that conversion ourselves so that we can profess the truth. We all have a mission. John had his mission to point to the Lamb of God and then to decrease so he could increase. And we have our mission. Our mission is to point to the Lamb of God as well, with our lives, to bring him to others and to bring others to him. But to do this, we need to know who it is or what it is that we are following. Am I following Christ or am I following the world? What do my actions and my choices say? When I look at my life, do I find my life convenient? Or when I live my faith, is it inconvenient? Do I suffer for my principles? Do I find life easy? Or do I find it a challenge? Because if we are truly living our Christian lives, it is going to be inconvenient. It is going to be a struggle. It is going to be a challenge. It's the way it is. Does the world look at my life and my choices and smile at me? Give me a wink, wink? It'll be okay. God understands. Or does the world look at me and see me as a disciple who is willing to carry the cross, who is willing, despite the cost, to let go of my preconceptions, to allow myself to be conformed to the One, to allow myself to truly behold the Lamb of God?